Okay, so it's With Chat here on Radio Wivenhoe, our weekly sessions that are going to be broadcast mainly on a Sunday evening when we're trying to find and have conversations with as many local people around the town who have got something of interest to say, maybe a really great historical story or something a bit more contemporary, anything involving conversations, having a nice cup of tea at the same time, and just finding out a bit more about some of the history of Wivenhoe. And for this week, I very kindly got some time with a gentleman called Victor. So, hello, Vic.
Victor Williamson.
So, Victor Williamson, who has very kindly agreed to have a chat about, I think, a lot of broad-based things in Wivenhoe and his time here. But what really interests me in particular is Vic's connection with Wivenhoe Town Football Club. So, as ever, I think, Vic, a really good, useful starting point could be, should we try and explore and find out, when did you first come to Wivenhoe and what were those circumstances, please?
I came to Wivenhoe on the day war broke out. We travelled up from Bethnal Green in East London on the red buses, and I was travelling with my sister, who was a couple of years younger than me, and it was decided when we left London that families would stay together, boys and girls, but the buses stopped at Mark's Tay, and it was decided that boys would go one way and girls would go the other. And the boys went to Fingringhoe, and the girls, like my sister, etc., were sent to Harwich, where, believe it or not, there was a war on, and she was there. But not for long. They moved her back to moved the people back to Great Bentley. But I stayed at Fingringhoe, and the cottage is still there. And we used to walk to the pub, what was that called? The Whalebone or something, which was quite some distance. We used to walk there to pick up the bus that used to take us to school at Wivenhoe. And the school, I believe, was where the library is now. And so that was my first visit to Wivenhoe.
So it was being an evacuee, so 1939, I guess. And it must have been, moving from Bethnal Green, quite a very, very different experience.
Oh, it was.
So what kind of memories or thoughts have you got when you first arrived in Fingringhoe? What did you think of the place?
Well, it happened. It's a long story, really. I travelled with my sister's school, and I was nearly 14, which was working age, and so I travelled with my sister's school, which was all girls. You see, I thought I'd be better with the girls than her being better with the boys if she had travelled with mine. I didn't want that problem. So anyway, we got there, and so I was wound up with three little infants, about six or seven, and there was me at nearly 14 and these three little kids, and we were in this cottage, and the people were ever so nice, and right next to the cottage was a farm, and we used to go up there with the horses and everything. So I've never experienced this before. And being September in those days, they used to cut the corn, and the mowing machines were out, and people were shooting rabbits as they ran out, and oh, it was ever so exciting. And then they had the thrashing machines going, and oh, I've never seen anything like that. It was one of the best Septembers I've ever spent. And eventually September went, and some people came knocking at the door and asked if there was anybody, any kids here that were evacuees. And these people said yes. They said, well, they should have been at school a month ago. And they got for me, because I was 14, and I said, they said they would come round and advise us. And anyway, it was all accepted, and so I went. That's when I started school at Wivenhoe.
So even then, going from Fingringhoe to Wivenhoe, you mentioned it was by bus, it wasn't crossing the river.
Ah, well, crossing the river, my mother came to visit me with my grandmother, and they used the ferry then, and they were from the ferry house, and they used to row her, they rowed them across, and they walked up Fingering Hoe, and when they went back, they went back to the station at Wivenhoe, and I sort of helped to push the boat out, and got right up to here. I didn't like to leave them, and then that was in use then, the ferry.
And was there much difference between Fingering Hoe and Wivenhoe? Because sort of now Fingering Hoe is sort of still a very, very small little place. Mm-hmm. You know, Wivenhoe has got much larger. But when you were then crossing from Fingering Hoe to Wivenhoe, did you get an impression that Wivenhoe was something a bit bigger than where you were staying?
Well, I realised that there was seemed to be a lot of war work going on along the river. But I never ventured there because it was off the bus and back on the bus. I never had the opportunity to get around Wivenhoe itself because I didn't know how to get back to Fingering Hoe. I didn't want to get left behind, so we used to stay close.
And then as a 14-year-old young lad, what kind of lessons or subjects were you taught at school, please?
Well, really, there wasn't very much because I think if I can remember, the evacuees had the afternoons and the children that were already living there had the mornings. It was just that we were occupied, I can't say. In fact, they did took me and the class across the road onto the King Joseph's Park, and they had country dancing. And there was a lady teacher, I can't remember her name, and she had a gramophone and used to wind it up with a big horn on it. And there's all these kids all dancing, but us London children, we'd never seen anything like it. And I must admit, it did make me laugh a bit. I don't think I joined in. I avoided that. But all going around like ring of roses and all that sort of thing. Country dancing, it was called.
Yeah. Which is very different from your probably Bethnal Green
experience. Yeah, we never had any green grass there. No, it was called Bethnal Green.
And so how long or how many years were you coming to Wivenhoe and going to school? How long did that last for?
September, October, November, December. About 3 months, that was all. Because on the first week in January 1940, I was 14 years of age. I had to go to work. Everybody went to work. And so I went home to Bethnal Green, and I took home a couple of rabbits, live rabbits, and I wore shorts to make myself. I only paid half price. I think it cost 2 shillings and 6 pence to get to Bethnal Green. There used to be a bus went from Colchester to through to Victoria, and it would go right through Bethnal Green. And I stepped off there with the live rabbits, and what else was about that?
So it was going from your country dancing experience, which you didn't quite get into, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden back into inner city, well, East End London again. Mm-hmm. So lots of changes.
Well, what happened was that when I got home, my father, who volunteered as a reservist, he was in France. He went to France before war was declared, because it was no good Mr. Chamberlain declaring war on Hitler if we didn't have any troops out there. So he, my father, was sent out there. It was in a local reserve regiment, Bethnal Green, still there. And he went to along on the Belgian frontier, and he came home for Christmas leave. I suppose they thought it was still a good war. And he came home, and everybody was merry. And I remember that he said to me, "I know you're going to start smoking." He said, "So you better have this packet of Woodbines." And so I did, like I say. And off he went. And believe it or not, he came back again in the Easter. I was still shipping them backwards and forwards. And but next time he came back via Dunkirk. And they were in the retreat, which they came off the beaches then, at Dunkirk. And he was one of the lucky ones to get away.